Anne, I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time, but I've been circling you because I'm thinking, how do I get an angle on this woman? You have so many artistic interests, so many art forms that you express yourself in that I'm thinking, how do I grasp this? How do you explain that? Is one art form simply not enough? Do you get different things from different art forms? How does that work for you?
Well, when I'm joking around with someone, I'll say I like soft and fluffy things, and I like hard and shiny things. So that's the weaving and the metalwork and the glasswork. And those are the three art forms that I participate in. But I think it goes back to when I was a kid. My parents enrolled me in art classes at the Cleveland Institute of Art, and I did that for a while.
You grew up in Ohio.
I grew up in Cleveland, yes, Cleveland Heights. And so I was exposed to the visual arts, to theater, to dance, music. Every once in a while, if I was especially good, they would take me. I remember sitting at the opera, 6 years old, too small for the seats, with my legs curled up underneath me and watching the scenery. Because it was Aida, so it was very, very bright, colorful, people moving around. I didn't really understand the story, of course, until I was older. We spent summers attending events at Kane Park, which is outdoor theater, and then the art classes. So it was a childhood that was full of exposure, and I think that's is something that has stayed with me, that I have an interest in a wide variety of things, and I get around to thinking of something, and then I don't know how to do it. So I have artist mentors that I go to, and I say, help me with this. And sometimes they'll look at me and they'll say, well, you can't possibly do that. It's like you're beginning. You're a student. You don't have the skills to do it. And then that's a challenge. And I go and I say, well, okay, let me figure this out. And sometimes it's a tremendous stretching of my brain to be able to figure out, because I can envision what I want, how I want to get there. The stepwise process is another thing entirely. And so I'm not real productive because it takes me a long time to think and to cogitate and to find the teaching and the mentoring that I need in the various aspects of whatever it is that I'm doing, so that I have a project now that I'm putting a nightlight into the wall between the bathroom and the closet in my home. And when I started with it, I talked to the builder about, well, put me a plug here because I want a nightlight. And he said, well, why don't you put it in the wall instead of on the wall? And that made me drop back, and I had to think, well, how can I do that?
That's an interesting idea, like recessed?
Yes.
Oh.
So what it is it's a hole in the wall that's framed, and it's lined on the inside with a strip of LED lights. So the piece is glass. It will be mounted so that the light shines through the glass. The glass is fused and colored and holes ground into it so that the light will reflect on the edges of the holes as well. The theme is bubbles, so it's small holes.
Yeah.
Getting larger and larger as they rise to the top of the piece.
This sounds so neat.
It will be fun.
Wow.
I can't wait to see it. I've got all the three pieces of glass now, and I'm just waiting until a quiet moment when I can fiddle with it and adjust the pieces, and then I have framing pieces already.
Is it born out of a need for something or a want for something, and then you figure out how to give it an artistic spin? I mean, a lot of us would just go to the hardware store and plug in a nightlight. You just don't think that way.
No, I can't. If it's something that possibly I can do, I would like to do it, even though I don't have the skills to do it, I can learn them. And so that sequential learning of things that I have to know how to do is what takes me a long time. And one of my teachers joked that she considered herself a co-creator on this because we had spent so much time talking about it, thinking it through. I tried different things. One of the things that I learned through weaving is that you make a sample before you invest many yards of very expensive materials, thread I did. A hand-spun ruana in which I spun, blended, dyed, and then wove 3,000 yards. And that took me a month of almost constant spinning before I could do
that.
See,
again, somebody would go to the fabric store, the yarn store, whatever.
No, Ann. No. I never do anything the easy way.
Completely from scratch, yeah.
And, anybody who knows me laughs about that, because if there's a way to make it difficult, then
you'll find it.
I will do it. Yes.
We still need to get sheep in your yard.
I know. I don't think so. I'm beyond the point now where I want to care for animals. In fact, the weather was so bad the other day, I thought, I'm so glad I don't have animals to take care of, because they come first.
Okay, so one step from
one
scratch.
One step, yeah. Right.
But not much more than that.
No.
Well, you're certainly testimony to expose our children to many different kinds of art forms very early in life.
I think that's critical, and we are really, really lucky to be in the Kalamazoo area where we have access to things like that. We have ways of fostering creativity through various community organizations. We have education for the arts. And we have community organizations like the Kalamazoo Institute of Arts that have ways and spaces and places and teaching for children. We have neighborhood associations, cultural organizations. And think of our libraries. I mean, they do a lot with children. And when you say art, sometimes people think that it's the visual arts. It's painting and drawing.
There's that tendency.
Yeah. But it really, it's all media in all five or six disciplines. And now we talk about visual art, yes, okay, but then music, the literary arts, dance, and theater.
Mm-hmm.
And now we add electronic arts to that, too. So we have
six
disciplines and many media within that.
Yeah.
In visual art, you have painting and drawing, but there's sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
Within that, photography, different photographic processes. We have digital applications that are involving the photographic process now. So it's...
You're making my head spin.
I know. Things just expand.
Yeah.
I had a teacher, I was thinking about her, a civics teacher who was unremarkable, except to me anyhow, except for the one statement that she made that has stayed with me all my life. And that is, not for school, but for life we learn. And that's why I think that it's so important for children to be exposed, because with exposure comes comfort. And I think of the Carnegie Center for the Arts in Three Rivers, and they have a day where they bring every fourth grader in the entire county through that organization.
Yeah.
And like the KIA, they have an area show for school children that brings the kids and the families into the organization so that there's comfort and familiarity. And then they come back for classes. And I think that's so important, to be able to know where it is that you're going, because you're more apt to go if you're comfortable with it. If you've been in the environment before, if it's something new, it's a little scary. But if you've been there, and as children with your parents, then it makes it easier. That was my
experience. Familiarity, you know. I remember my folks taking me to the community concerts we used to have way back when, and I was such a small child. And at first, it was kind of boring. I'd sit there with my sister, you know, elbowing her and playing tic-tac-toe. But somehow, it gets into your blood over time. So you're absolutely right.
And we both have similar experiences then, as exposure as children. And then we went through a period of time when the arts in all forms were removed from the schools. And in our area, we're very careful to keep them there, which I think is wonderful.
I was going to ask you about that, the value of art education, which so often in so many schools across the country gets ignored or cut first when there's a budgetary problem.
Well, I think here we have dedicated huge resources to that very question. And we do have arts experiences and teaching for children. We have a whole foundation locally, the Irving S. Gilmore Foundation, that dedicates its resources from Irving S. Gilmore to the arts. and they deal with Kalamazoo County and out and beyond. And it's responsible for our wonderful music that we have, the Gilmore Keyboard Festival.
Yeah,
they support the theater. They support dance, the program that I mentioned before, Education for the Arts, which brings all six arts disciplines into the schools. These are just fabulous resources that we have in this area.
Kalamazoo really is blessed. And I guess once you get that core of an artist type of colony, you attract more. Out of the different places I've lived, Kalamazoo is pretty unique that way, especially for this size city, the richness of the different art forms, as you've said. And you've taken both a leadership role, and you referred to yourself earlier as a perennial student, especially at KIA, Kalamazoo Institute of Arts. Tell us a little bit more about the leadership roles you took before.
Well, I was very fortunate to work for the Arts Council of Greater Kalamazoo. I had a wonderful early period in research and science, and I worked at a hospital. I did maternal child health education. But I always had, and the people that I worked with were wonderful. I loved what I was doing, but I was also always a fish out of water because I would communicate with my colleagues with poetic and literary references, with cartoons. And I always had the feeling that my colleagues were kind of scratching their heads and wondering. And I left that place of employment and started at the Arts Council. And from the day I walked in, it was like I was home, that people understood the references that I was making. And they understood the visual elements of our conversations.
Mm.
So that was very important. I was there for about 11 years, and in a period of time when the Arts Council grew from a sort of a one-room office on the fourth floor of the county building and to the space that we have now in what's called the Epic Center. And those of us who are old enough to remember Jacobson's know exactly where we were on the second floor.
I remember.
Yes, and Women's Better Wear. And I think downstairs where the symphony is or where the restaurant is, I don't quite remember. That was Men's Haberdashery. So as we were doing the project, we would sort of locate ourselves by where we had would have been if it was still Jacobson's. But that organization under the leadership of Fritz Freund of the Gilmore Foundation and Judy Jolliffe of our organization was a fabulous project, and I was very, very fortunate to be involved in that. And very fortunate also to be a mentor to artists. I manage the funding programs that the Arts Council has and still has, and got to work with artists in all disciplines and just teach them a little bit what I knew about writing, how to write an artist statement. It needs to be clear and concise and have like a very short story, a beginning, a body, and an end.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite fun. My brother in Cleveland is a photographer, and he was the beneficiary, as I was, of a wonderful secondary education. And he has written the most clear, concise artist statement that I had ever read. So I got his permission to use it, and occasionally if I was trying to
as an example
show someone an example of what a good artist statement was, I would haul out my brother's. That was fun, this sort of thing to do. And I had a variety of different types of brains and mindsets. I had one artist that I wanted to give funding to, but I hadn't a final report from him. And I said to him, I saw him in the office one day, and I said, I need a final report from you. I have a grant that I think that would work well for you. And he said, oh, yeah, I saw it. It was on the floor of the upstairs of the attic. And I said, will you run home, get that thing, fill it in, and bring it back to me, and then we'll work on a project for you. Another time I had a young man who didn't write well, and so he brought his executive director in, and she dictated the final report to me, and I typed it up because
that
was a project for,
you do go the extra
for
mile.
Him that I thought was beneficial.
So you've been a mentor, too.
I have been a mentor, yes.
Yeah.
And I loved that work. It was Probably the last best job that anybody ever had. And we had a good team when we worked there.
So when you approach, sometimes as you described with that light, it's a need that starts you going on a project. Do you work on simultaneous different projects at once? You're weaving something, you're doing something in copper, or do you focus on one at a time? How do you choose what you're going to work on?
I never choose. I just work on everything all at once.
You
I have
do.
A sort of a scattered approach. For example, with the weaving that I did 3,000 yards of spinning for it, I also wanted some silver charms for it. So while I was weaving that piece and finishing it, then I took a workshop in precious metal clay and made sterling silver charms for it, because being a Ruana would swing while you walk, and so the charms were for one edge of it, so that when you'd walk, they would swing and click together and make a little bell-like sound.
I love the way your mind works.
So embellishments, I guess, or
yeah,
you know, a little bit scattered, but
yeah.
The overall piece was really interesting, and the charms mostly stayed. I made lots of extras. I have to replace a couple of them that have gotten
lost.
Don't
you have cats at home?
Oh, in fact,
they would have loved a skirt like
when
that.
When I was finishing it, the edges have to be finished so it doesn't unravel.
Yeah.
And I had it laid out on the dining room table, and I took a picture of the piece of weaving, which was silk and wool, and my cat laid out on it while I was doing the fringe and hemming, you know, doing the hem stitching for the fringe of it. And she was all spread out, just cozy and comfortable as could be on this
spread out
piece.
Is good. I imagine
yeah.
them pawing at these little
no.
silver trinkets. And...
No. When
oh, good cat.
When I get a cat, and because of the spinning and the knitting and balls of fluff and fiber, I always... this last cat was really interesting. I looked at her as a kitten, and then I associated her with balls of roving and balls of yarn, and said very clearly and distinctly in my mind to her, no, no, no. And she never bothered my yarn, which I thought was really interesting, because I don't like to swat at her.
Well, yeah.
And, yeah. You know, she's...
we have some
very,
magical powers, too.
Very well-behaved. Oh, I don't know about that, but I...
Telepathy
know,
with animals.
Mental communication with one's cat is very important
yeah.
when you're...
So you're part of the Weavers Guild as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I'm a member of the Weavers Guild. And this past summer, in honor of our 50th anniversary, the organization has been going since 1968. And so we had a... couple of exhibits of Weaver's work through that period, one at the Carnegie Center in Three Rivers that was curated by local artist Mary Ellen Haynes. And we had work from 1968 through current work that was recently done, a variety of members of the Guild. And then concurrently, that show in Three Rivers lasted from June through the beginning of September. And then at the same time at the Portage Library, we had a show in June and July that was a general member show. Anybody could bring what they wanted. And that work went back into the probably late 70s and early 80s. So we had the two shows this summer, and that was interesting for me. And I credit my work at the Arts Council for learning how to do things like that from my colleagues there. And I think it gave the membership a nice variety. The one in Carnegie was seen by about 1,200 people over the course of the summer. The librarians couldn't keep records for me, but they said there were a lot of good comments
yeah.
on it, and people were interested to see the work and were amazed at the quality of the work that the members produced. So that's fun. I'm not really much of a weaver myself, so this is one way that I could contribute as a member to the 50th organization.
And with the copper, is that often jewelry pieces or bracelets, things like that? Or what do you do with copper?
A little bit. I enjoy fold forming, which is taking thin sheets of copper and folding them in a pattern. So I've done this since the 80s when my kids were adolescents and frustrating me. I found it was better to beat on metal than to beat on kids. So that's how I started that. So I've been doing it off and on ever since then. I like working in copper because it's soft and it's forgiving. If I make a mistake, I can get another piece of it fairly inexpensively. So I do the fold forming. I do bracelets. I do shapes. I'm working on a set of three small copper boxes now that I've been working on, as I said, for a long time. So they need to be finished up. And I'll do a long, narrow, rectangular piece in repoussé and pierced work for the front hall, the entry, as you come in. So I always have something on the back burner while I'm finishing something up. But the jewelry, the copper work, I've done since the 80s, and I've enjoyed that.
Is there any place downtown or any place around Kalamazoo where people can view or maybe even purchase your work?
Well, sometimes I sell things at the KIA sale in the first weekend of December. Mm-hmm. Haven't done that for a long time. After my husband died, I sort of put these things aside for a couple of years, and I'm just kind of now getting back into it. I don't have anything available now. I may have some things that I'll have at the Nature Connection, but I haven't put together new stuff for that, so...
So a lot of it is for your own pleasure?
Yeah, for my own use.
Yeah.
I give things away. And
so it's a good thing to be Anne's friend.
And the piece for the house was really important to me. I borrowed a friend's studio that winter and then did the pieces and put them together and then made a fused glass piece for the center of it and then installed it at the back of the stove. So that I like seeing that. I enjoy it.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Anne. We could probably talk for a long time about all the many types of art that you create.
Well, no, thank you, Cinta. I enjoyed it. And you're a good mentor of radio interviewing.